Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Grilling JR with the voice of professional wrestling, Mr. Jim Ross. Jim, how are you, man?
I'm pretty good, Connie. A little sore. You know, that trip to Greensboro took a little bit out of me, to be honest with you. And I know that trying to get up and go pee during the planes in flight is probably not a great idea for me right now. But I stumbled to the bathroom a time or two and didn't take any tumbles. So all is good.
Well, we were excited to see you back behind the desk doing what you love to do. We're going to be talking about all that's happened since we were able to catch up with you. Of course, we're going to talk about Sting's last match, and we're going to talk about Greensboro and AEW, and maybe we'll touch on a little wrestling news. But first, let's talk about you, man. We haven't been able to put together a show and catch up for quite a while. Yeah. And there were some reports online and lots of speculation. And I just want you to sort of set the record straight here. What's been going on, man? Where you been?
Well, I fell and broke and cracked my hip. So that was the reason for my absence. I spent about 3 weeks in rehab, physical therapy and all that stuff, which is no fun. Little bitty beds, people waking you up at all hours. It's just got to be unattainable, to be honest with you. So I decided to come home, and that's what I did. I came home, and I have an in-home nurse. She's been here and gone already today, and so I'm healing, just taking some time. But, you know, I think the big difference for me has been getting my meds applied by intravenously. The antibiotics, switching over to antibiotics through my veins has been a difference maker, huge difference maker. So I wish I had done it sooner, we can say, but I didn't. But I have now, and I've run this course. We're just about at the end of our cycle, shall we say. And so it's all good, man. And I'm on my way to getting healed. And you know, traveling and being on the road with this affliction right now is no fun, but, you know, I'm not sure exactly when I'm going to get back in the saddle as far as doing a show. I'm assuming, and it's simply an assumption, that it'll probably be at the next pay-per-view. It's my guess. So, if that's the case, then I'll be ready to roll. And I think that's in St. Louis. I always enjoy going to St. Louis. So we'll see how it works out. But, I fell in my house and cracked my hip, and that's kind of what laid me up. And I got surgery on my hip, orthopedic surgery, and it's healing. So that's all we can do is just let it heal, and hopefully it heals sooner than later. So, but it's painful. I just can't find a place to be comfortable sitting. Just challenging to. Right now. So, but I'm making it, you know, I've gone through worse and survived it. So that's kind of where we are, Conrad. I'm just trying to heal a day at a time. Day at a time is all I can take it.
Well, I heard you mention on commentary the other day when you were behind the desk at Sting's last match for AEW Revolution that you had a walking cane with you there. Is that a part of your regular everyday life now? Or do we think that's just a transition as you're
It's a transition. I think it's a transition, Connie. I was trying to make a joke with Excalibur and Tony Schiavone. You know, you guys better watch what you say. I got my stick with me, so I'll nail you with it. So that was just looking for comedy and levity. But it's part of this healing process. It's just going to take me some time to get there. And I know we're going to make it. I've already passed the worst part. So I appreciate everybody kind of staying hooked with us as far as being able to not doing shows as frequently as we need to do them and all that. That's on me. So here we are. Here we are. And it was a great weekend. I can tell you that right now. That's the problem. Some of the best medicine that I could receive is being around all the guys and gals and the staff. You know, Tony Khan's done a good job of hiring a lot of new people that seem to be doing their jobs well. At least that's my take on it. They seems to be working. So I enjoyed seeing everybody and catching up and so forth. I appreciate the friendliness and the care and the compassion that the talents had for me. They were glad to see me back and almost as glad as I was to be back. So it was really cool. I'm sure glad I got the assignment. I appreciate Tony Khan having the confidence in me, having a wounded soldier get back on the front line and do his thing. So I appreciate that the confidence that Tony had in me and has in me. So all good. It's all good, man.
I loved seeing you back doing your thing. And, you know, we're talking a little bit about your hip and what that circumstance was and that you're sporting a cane now, but when you talked about intravenous,
only part time for the cane comes really in handy when I'm getting resettled, when I'm getting up and moving around for the first time after being sedentary for a few hours. So in the mornings, it's challenging because I've slept all night, and you know, it's a little bit more daunting, to be honest with you. But then once I get in the flow of things during the day, I don't even use the cane. But I didn't want to go out there and fall on my ass in Greensboro because I was too lazy or too hard-headed, too egocentric to use the cane. It didn't bother me a bit to look a little bit weaker than normal. It worked out, and I'm glad that I had it, and I'm glad that I used it. So it was all fine, man. It was a really unique experience when you don't know if you're going to fall or not and things of that nature. But the staff got me to the desk, got me seated and all that good stuff. They even brought me a donut, one of those donuts, not a chocolate glaze, but one of those donuts you sit on. So I was using that during that show. And I didn't know until I got there that I was going to do two matches instead of one. The plan was for me to always do the last match with Shivani. Then Excalibur was added to that mix, which is great. He does a hell of a job. And he was very unselfish. Didn't have to be, but he was. That's very classy of him. But I like to think that, you know, working with Shivani and I is good for him, his career as well. There are good reps in that scenario. So, it worked. It worked out fine. I thought our show was strong, and I appreciate all the positive feedback on social media and so forth. It really was appreciated. A great deal. So all is good. The report from Greensboro would be all A's, all positive experience.
I can't wait for us to talk about the actual pay-per-view and break that down. We're going to do that here just momentarily. And of course, lots of Sting conversation coming your way, but I wanted to follow up on something else. You said, that you'd been getting your meds intravenously, and we know, gosh, for almost 2 years now, maybe longer, you've been battling that cancerous wound on your leg where you had that cut out. And I know that every Tuesday you were going to the doctor and they were working on scraping, and it was just this very painful process. But then we learned towards the end of last year that perhaps you've been diabetic and didn't realize it. So they got your medicine sort of leveled out, and the weight just started falling off of you. I mean, I don't mind saying, the other day on the pay-per-view, like, you were swimming in that jacket. So they've got that medicine dialed in for you now. Is the wound healing better now as well?
Oh yeah. Yeah. My in-home nurse, came yesterday and we looked at it, and he had to put medicine on it, some kind of honey, something. But it's working. And the intravenous thing was the magic formula. That's what has caused a difference in the healing and speeding it up and all that good stuff. So I wish I had done it earlier, obviously. But the specialist came in and rode his white horse in and said, here's what we need to do, and you're willing to do it. So right now I've got three ports in my chest where they apply the intravenous antibiotics. And that's been the difference maker. And I'm almost at the end of my run with that. So it's worked, and I'm proud that we tried it. I wish in hindsight that I'd have tried it earlier, but that was not to be, but I'm doing it now, and it's working. That's the main thing. It's working.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it's working, and I'm glad to hear that you're on the mend. What does what does physical therapy and rehab for all of this look like? I mean, I know that you're going to continue to have a doctor visit you at home and just make sure that you're getting those medicines, but do you have some sort of a recovery plan as far as PT goes?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of walking, in a nutshell, stretching, walking. When you're in a tentative or a touchy area, you know it because it hurts. So I know when I'm getting some stress and pressure there that it's hitting the right spots. But a lot of it is basically walking. And I walk in the mornings and I walk around here in my place. I create excuses to go to the kitchen or bedroom or I got a runway outside. You've been here it's an outside setting, but when the weather's nice, it's nothing better than Florida weather, taking a nice little walk on my balcony type area. And so that's what I've been doing, just basically walking and trying to get my balance and all those things. So it's coming together pretty good. It's coming together pretty good. Like I said, the only thing I regret is not doing some of these things earlier, but I didn't. And so now here we are, and it's time to man up and move on.
Well, we're glad that you've manned up and that you're moving on, because it was nice to see you back behind the desk. This would have been your first time attending an AEW show since they were in Oklahoma a couple of months ago. I'm sure it was nice to see everybody again. And how did this show differ from just your experience, the way the crowd felt, just the sense of occasion? Did this feel like a traditional, just another AEW pay-per-view, or did it feel like much more than that?
It felt like much more than that, Connie. You know, the occasion of it being Sting's last match was special, very special. And so that made it different and unique and irreplaceable. It's just, pardon me, one of those experiences that you don't soon forget or ever. I don't think I'll ever forget. I mean, the first time when I walked into the Coliseum, Sunday afternoon, the first person I saw was Sting, and he was carrying his granddaughter. And I thought, boy, what an ironic scenario this is. Here's the guy that we're honoring, and he's walking around carrying his little granddaughter, granddaughter number one, he told me. So he had a good day. Lovely little baby. Grandpa was having a big moment. It was just great to be a part of it. I'm glad I was there. I really am. Working with Excalibur and Tony was fun, and I thought we did a decent job for sure. But it was a really unique. It couldn't have been booked any better in that respect. You know, I, like any other egomaniac, you know, you'd like to have a big entrance and all that good stuff, but that was not the case. What did happen was perfectly fine. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the fact that I got to start working. That picture we saw there that Bull Raymond's put up, you know, me sitting in the middle was where I need to sit. That's me. And whether that's egocentric or sounds bad, so be it. But there you go. That's where I need to be, right there in the middle. There's Tony was so gracious, sharing time and Excalibur as well. So I think that show, Conrad, was good for Excalibur. I think it was good for him to work with Shivani and I in that environment in a special occasion. So it was a win for all of us. All of us became better announcers, I think, because of our experience and our opportunity that we had there in Greensboro. Couldn't have been any better.
The actual return, man, you know, here on the show, we've been letting people listen to studio sessions and we've had a blast with that. If you haven't already, check that out in the archives. It's GrillingJR on YouTube.com. Some really old school, quote unquote, in kayfabe interviews that happened on the radio like 30 some odd years ago, but it had to feel like a throwback to 30 something years ago when you find yourself back in the Greensboro Coliseum, along with Tony Schiavone, along with Sting, along with Ric Flair. I saw before the show, and even before you were on camera, the Greensboro Coliseum, man, they were so excited to get this out. They may have accidentally spoiled your return. They gave you guys all a set of custom black bats, and it was engraved. I mean, what a special, nice little item that was. I mean, they even called you the Hall of Fame voice of wrestling, Jim Ross. And they called Tony Schiavone the Greensboro GOAT. Darby Allin got a bat. Sting got a bat. Ric Flair got a bat. Yeah, you and both Tony Khan and Tony Schiavone. This was a nice little touch of class from the building that had to make you feel good, no?
Yeah, it's very surprising. I didn't expect it. I appreciated it very much. Those guys went to a lot of trouble to have these bats designed. There's metal bats, softball bats. So it was really cool. And everybody was, Sting especially, pleasantly surprised. You know, he told me, he said, I've never got anything like this. So, and he was telling the truth. It was a special moment for all of us.
That's awesome.
And none of us expected it. It was awful nice of the management of the Coliseum to come through and to present these awards. And I guess in memories of our service to the arena, because all of us that are there, we had all had great experiences in Greensboro. Because, you know, at one time it was the MSG of the South. You know, Greensboro was the hub, you know, not only for Michael Jordan and the ACC basketball tournament and all those things, but it was the wrestling hub. All the big shows were in Greensboro. So it was cool to be a part of that, say the least. I'm very honored. And I gave my bat to one of the production people. So I'm hopeful that it'll show up here sooner than later, because it's a really a cool piece of memorabilia. It'll be interesting to see how long they're not on the market. Somebody's selling theirs or whatever. I'm not selling mine, but I'm very proud to be a you know, to get that, that opportunity and that honor. It's very nice. Those guys, they were very excited about the night, as they should have been. You know, we had a full house. We packed it. And, I thought that was kind of cool. It's really neat to look around. You know, when I got out to ringside, I started peeking, so to speak, looking around and looking at all the people, every seat, all the way up to the very top row of the Coliseum. Somebody was sitting. It's really neat. So, we were all blessed to be a part of it, to say the least, and honoring Sting, which, you know, there's no better person to honor than him. He's just has always been a class act. And that's, I think, what made that so special. There are the three of us, Giovanni and myself and Sting, are the shots there. It's fun stuff. It's a feel good deal. I needed that night. I needed to block the pain and the imposition and all that stuff. And we succeeded. So it was a team effort, and the team survived and the team won. We won on Sunday. And I'm really proud to be a part of that, to have been a part of that.
It was a really special show. I enjoyed it. And I know that it got really high marks from everyone who attended it live. Like, I saw people who watched online who said it was probably one of the best three AEW pay-per-views of all time. But I heard from a lot of people who actually attended the show. And I heard from multiple people who said it was the most fun wrestling experience of their life. And cool. I think a lot of that is not just based on what happened inside the confines of the ring. It was the emotion of it being Sting's last match. And the people I heard from, they attended with family members who were of a different generation who loved wrestling as well. And I just think that's what's great about a career like Sting's in professional wrestling. You don't get this in a lot of other forms of entertainment, certainly in no other quote unquote sport, where generations of family members grow up watching this same guy. Like, you know, there were grandfathers and fathers and sons and grandkids who all watched Sting together. And that's pretty special, is it not?
Oh yeah. It's just part of the process of being a pro wrestling fan. You take all those memories, you can accumulate them and take them with you and move them along. And that's kind of what we did. You saw a lot of people that were there that you just knew were second and third generation fans. And that was really cool. Very cool.
I wanted to ask you, before we talk about the two matches that you were on commentary for, one of the matches that everyone was talking about, and I even saw some people saying it's going to be a match of the year candidate. It was really a coming out party for Will Ospreay. We've seen Will Ospreay put on several shows and performances with AEW before, including maybe most famously that incredible match at Forbidden Door last year with Kenny Omega. This time it was with a young upstart who, boy, has been on fire ever since we saw him in AEW, Takeshita. He's been a scene stealer, and boy, did they put on a show. I talked to the Nature Boy Ric Flair on Monday, and he could not believe what he saw with Will Ospreay, and told me that he found him after the show and said, "Brother, you are all I've heard about and more." A lot of people saw him really for the first time in a big way at this pay-per-view, because it was such a unique show in Sting's last match. You know, people who might not normally order an AEW pay-per-view, well, they came away with the understanding of who the hell Will Ospreay is. What'd you think of that match? I know you got to see it on a monitor, and just wanted your take on that one.
It was spectacular. It was spectacular. It was better than I envisioned it might be. Ospreay's a special, special talent. AEW fans have some great things to look forward to as regarding Ospreay and Takeshita. Both of them are young and still evolving, getting better every time out. So I knew, or I thought, that the match would be special. However, I'll be dead honest. I didn't know or predict in my mind that it was going to be as special as it was. There was everything that you could want in a five-star match. They had, I don't know how many stars Meltzer's going to give it and all that stuff. I don't know that. But I know that it was extraordinary. Everything seemed seamless, made sense, logical, just good stuff. Logical, good, hard-hitting wrestling. And those two cats did it right.
It was really an unbelievable performance. If you haven't seen it, go out of your way to see it. Let's talk about the two matches that you got to call. A three-way dance for the world title: Swerve Strickland, Hangman Adam Page, and Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe retained here, and a lot of people were wondering, what's the story here? Is it that Hangman Adam Page is now going to be a bad guy? Is he more obsessed with Swerve not becoming champion than actually winning the title again himself? I thought, you know, for a three-way world title match, they did as good as they could as telling a story. Three more than capable performers. And I, for one, am loving the run that Joe is on as the champion. What'd you think?
Joe's the man in a story. He's a machine. And I have great respect for Samoa Joe. Always have. Always will. He's a man's man. He's physical. He doesn't give any quarter, nor does he ask for one. Thought he had a great night. And the other two guys did as well. I mean, let's be honest. Both the challengers had excellent nights, and deserved the booking that they got. So it was a physical match, and I enjoy the physicality, the psychology, all worked out real well in my world. And I think it made sense. You know, this is Sting's night. Nothing was going to supplant Sting's night. Somewhere down the road, it's going to be, somebody else's night. It's going to be Swerve's night or the other cat. You can't make everybody happy. Everybody can't be a winner. Everybody can't get their hand raised. But Paige will have his night. I think he's more comfortable as a villain, a physical, cutthroat, uncaring villain than any other role I've seen him in lately. Maybe I'm wrong. It's just one guy's opinion. Swerve is coming to his own. He's become a star before our very eyes in the last several weeks. Physical guy. I like his style. He didn't let up. He's an all man. And as Ernie Ladd would say, all man and a yard wide. So, and somewhere down the road, the days will come for, the two challengers to stand on that pedestal and and hold the title. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Just a matter of if and when. But I think somewhere down the road, sooner than later, we're going to see even more competition for the title. And I think that's all good. To have three contenders that are all viable is a good thing. It's good for TV, and it's good for the fans, and it's good for the talents.
I'm sure it was good for you to see some names from yesteryear. No Context Flair over on Twitter says, how was it seeing the likes of Luda, Nikita, and Steamboat back in Greensboro? And what's the difference between the crop of wrestlers from the 80s and the ones from, say, the Attitude Era? You hired basically everybody from the Attitude Era, Jim, but we saw a lot of 80s greats there. Any fun memories catching up with those guys? And what do you think is the difference between the End of the Territory guys and the Attitude Era guys?
Well, I was very pleased to see so many smiles on the faces of the talents that were making an appearance there. And I thought that was cool because they were enjoying the hell out of themselves. They were happy that they were there. And that counts as something without a question. So there you see Nikita and Magnum.
And Scotty Riggs.
Scotty Riggs there. He's a little fuzzy in my picture. But yeah. But it was great to see those guys. And they were great. They were happy to be there. So anytime you can bring happiness to guys that are retiring, so to speak, or they're not on the card, is a good thing. Those guys did a hell of a job. I thought they were genuinely happy for Sting's success, and they were genuinely happy that they attended this event.
Did you get to catch up at all with Arn Anderson or DDP or Lex Luger? I know those guys were all there, but I don't think they were seen on camera.
I don't think contractually some of those cats could be seen on camera because of previous
contracts with WWE.
Contractual, yeah, commitments to WWE. But everybody got past that. It wasn't a big deal. Everybody moved right along and adapted, knew where to sit, where not to sit, so forth and so on. So, but it was good in that respect. But I enjoyed visiting with everybody. You know, I didn't get a chance to visit with everybody, as much as I'd like. And before the show, I kind of was sequestered in the announcer's locker room area. That's where I saw a lot of the guys, you know, Arn and many others, which I always enjoy. You know, we have so many lifetime stories together. It's hard not to make it important, feel important. It was important. So, that's kind of how I saw that situation. It was a great opportunity to rekindle old relationships, give a guy a hug or a handshake, ask about the families, things of that nature, stuff that I always like to do. And, you know, I talked to Arn a good while. His son is still training and working. And I believe in my heart of hearts that somewhere along the way, Arn's son is going to be a star.
Yes.
It's just a matter of catching the right break, the right creative, the right people. But I think he has a chance to become a real star. Brock Anderson, a good kid too. Good hearted kid.
Yes.
He's raised right. So I have a lot of hope for him and a lot of optimism for some company's going to make a star out of that kid at some point in time. No doubt about it in my mind.
By the way, Arn and Brock are making appearances, almost every single weekend. So if you have an opportunity to go meet them in real life, man, it's pretty cool to get to meet with both generations like that. You know, Brock's going to be a star, and boy, what a legendary Hall of Fame career his dad had.
Right.
Don't sleep on Brock Anderson. One thing we're not sleeping on is the send off that Sting got. My goodness, what a spectacle the main event was. This was the topic of a lot of discussion and debate ahead of time. I saw people who were tribalists and maybe anti-AEW who just hated the idea that Sting was having his last match in a tag match. And I would always say to those people, hey, if you don't mind, make me a list of all the singles matches Sting has had in AEW. So once you understand that they've all been tag matches, understanding that Sting wants this to be a tag match and a tornado tag so he can jump off some stuff and have some crazy hijinks and all that. You just can't find better opponents for him than the Young Bucks. And
right.
Everybody,
the Young Bucks deserve an attaboy without a doubt.
No doubt.
They deserve a tip of that old black hat without question, because they help make that thing successful. Their bumping, their psychology, their athleticism was absolutely phenomenal. And it shows just once again that the Young Bucks, it's hard to find a better team. We've got great teams in AEW, no doubt about that. But they're always going to be in that conversation. And, to be able to pair up with Sting's sons and,
yes,
and see how that went. That was just such a novel, creative idea. I didn't know that we were going to do that. I had no idea. I've always followed the philosophy that the less I know, the better work I'm going to do. And Sting's two sons added a great deal to the presentation, in my opinion.
I was in Huntsville when I heard they had a special entrance planned for Sting. And I know that Tony Schiavone had been saying, man, I wish he would come out in that red, white, and blue just one last time. Well, I think what they came up with was even cooler. The use of the sons in the storyline, and then, of course, in the last match, man, they looked phenomenal. It was special. The Young Bucks had their working boots on. They were there to be heels and to be bad guys and to have an incredible performance, paying homage to a guy they grew up watching.
Right.
But the conversation when the match was over was about the daredevil hijinks once again of Darby Allin. This generation's Mick Foley, perhaps. When my wife first saw Darby Allin debut in AEW and he came down the ramp on a skateboard, it was her first time seeing Darby. And she said, oh, so he's AEW Sting. And I kind of laughed and thought, boy, Lord bless her heart, she just doesn't know. Turns out she was right. Darby Allin became a tag team partner of Sting and has been getting the rub ever since. And man, he left it all out there, literally going through a pane of glass off a ladder. What a Unreal. Spectacle. What a spot. And then immediately here comes the blood. I mean, Darby's back looked like something from that movie, The Passion of the Christ. It was a gruesome scene. What'd you think?
I was scared for this kid. I'm that way a lot with Darby. You knew that he was going to try to do something special and something extraordinary, and he did, and he succeeded. But he was just on his game. Darby Allin was, one of the stars the entire night, and going through that glass and the glass and cutting his back and all that stuff was very drastic, very compelling. But that's Darby. There's nothing too dangerous or too compelling for Darby Allin. It didn't seem like. Just he never ceases to amaze me. That's why he's one of the top pro wrestlers in the entire world. And I'm glad that we got him. AEW right here. We got him. We got that kid. And, what a great kid he is. And I know that match meant a lot to him because he felt like there was a lot dependent upon his performance and the things he was going to do. And again, I had no idea about the glass. Which is great for me because I could react naturally and normally and or quasi normally for a wrestling announcer, but it was horrible in a good way, I guess, because I don't know of any other talent that would even attempt or even consider something along this drastic. Nobody but Darby. Darby Allin was one of the stars of the entire show without question, and he deserves all the accolades and the hugs that we could pile on him. I'm anxious to see where it goes from here and how the follow up is. And, I love that kid. I just hope that he can continue to, dodge the bullets that he loads in his own gun and start shooting. He's just a extraordinary, extraordinary talent. And, nothing is too big. No assignment is too big. And let's all remember, he created this stuff. This is what he wanted to do. Somebody didn't come to him with a piece of paper and say, okay, here, we want you to do these three things. It's all Darby. And so for a guy to have to think about all afternoon what he's going to be doing with that glass I find to be extremely extraordinary, extremely and brave, and just unbelievable. I'm working with Darby. I'm proud that he's my friend, and I'm proud that he's with AEW more than anything, because he's a star, a massive star.
I saw somebody online sort of make the comparison that Sting and Darby were sort of like Batman and Robin. I thought, I kind of like that. But now I'm curious, what's next for Robin? Batman's gone, and Sting really is going to retire, and that's it. And it's not just going to be a wrestling retirement. And I do believe that.
That's the case, Conrad. By the way, sorry to interrupt you. I don't think Sting's planning on any comebacks.
Right.
I think what we saw Sunday night in Greensboro was what we're going to see. He's retiring. It's real. And I don't know what's next either, but as far as Darby's concerned, once he gets healed up, he'll be right back in the fray. He'll be right back after it. So, and if you're a talent, especially a rugged heel type talent, who else would you rather work with than Darby Allin? Because he's going to give you everything he's got. He's going to sell all the things that the great baby faces are able to do. I don't know what's next for Darby, but I'm not concerned about it. I'm not concerned that they can't. Well, we got to find something for Darby to do. That's never an issue. That's never an issue. So what Darby's going to do next may not be as sensational as his body being racked with glass. I hope it isn't. It doesn't need to be that extreme. But there'll always be something for Darby Allin to do in a spectacular way. And he'll come through, as always. He'll come through, and he'll be sensational, just like we hoped and we wish and we watch. He's just, I just couldn't believe the night he had. Just unbelievable. And it's so easy not to talk about it too much, Connie, because it was Sting's night. But Darby did everything he could to fit into Sting's night, and it worked out extremely well. That match delivered, and it had tremendous hype and tremendous expectation, and everybody fulfilled their role. Everybody ran the plays they were supposed to run, and made it very, very, very spectacular.
Let's talk a little bit about what you expect next for Darby. You know, he's been a big part of, I mean, we know in the rear view, he's been a TNT champion, but he's been a big part of the tag team division. Most recently capturing tag team gold with Sting. It was revealed at the post-match presser that Tony Khan plans to hold a tag team title tournament. If you were booking, and I know that's not your call, is it time for Darby to have a singles push now?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I was thinking that, Conrad, as you were talking. Darby's going to be successful in anything he does, but I think it might be time for that singles run for Darby. And if that's the case, there's a litany of talents that Darby would match up well with and can perform with in a big way. So I would be my vote, if I had one. I don't, thank God. It would be a singles run for Darby at this point in time. Let him distance himself a little bit from his amazing experience with Sting and be Darby Allin on his own. That's how I would look at it, because there seems to be a lot more. You got to find another partner that's going to replace Sting. That's going to be challenging, at least right now, timing wise. Not that it can't be done, but I think my preference would be Darby on a singles run of some sort, including championships. You know, Darby Allin and Samoa Joe didn't hurt my feelings, quite frankly. So a lot of ways to skin that cat.
Let's talk a little bit about, what we think is next for the Young Bucks. I mean, obviously they had quite a performance. I really loved the little stuff in the match. Like when they got ready to super kick Sting, instead of saying, "I'm sorry, I love you," like Shawn Michaels did to Ric Flair back in 08, it was, "We're not sorry. We hate you." Super kick. It was fun. Do you think the Young Bucks should continue their Nicholas and Matthew heel personas, or do the fans really want to love these guys? And maybe that was just necessary for this individual match.
I think, the Bucks staying heel are continuing to develop their heel skills. Heel personas is a good thing because they're good at it. We saw just how good they could be with their legacy and their in-ring styling and their body English and their facial expressions. They're a perfect heel team. They really impressed me, did these two cats, these two brothers, California. Good job. Good job, fellas. Proud of you, both of you. Proud of you a lot. And they did what they were, asked to do. And that was to compliment Sting and Darby in this match and make it as big and as impressive as possible.
It was big. It was impressive. It was special. The big controversy coming out of the match is, should they have used the glass? Was it too much? And I think some of this is because of what did or didn't happen or who you do or don't believe from last year at All In with Jack Perry. But boy, glass has been a hot button issue as a rule. I know you're probably not in favor of it being a little old school, but I also know that you believe in letting the performers do what they feel is best. And as you said, not like anybody asked Darby to do this. These were Darby's ideas. What did you think about the use of the glass?
It was one step away from being too much. I had to see it to believe it. Maybe I didn't want to believe it because I knew the dangerous elements that existed. But it added amazingly to the match. It's pieces of this match that we'll never forget. And the glass was certainly one of those elements. So, but I was very impressed in a kind of a compelling, grotesque way as to what we did. And again, I wasn't sure what they were going to do. I saw the glass, so I could figure, well, somebody's going to go through the glass. Something's going to break. And it did. And it was just unbelievable. I can't imagine what Darby's body must have felt like getting those shards of glass everywhere in his back, all the blood and pain and all the suffering that he endured to make this thing work. So it was a hell of a job by Darby Allin and the Bucks, everybody involved. Nobody dropped the ball. This match was perfectly executed, in my opinion. And it's certainly subjective to say, well, the glass is a little too much for me. Well, it may be. If so, then just process it and move on. Because that's what we got. And what we got was something we'll never forget.
I tell you what makes a difference for me is this is what Sting wanted. You know, like we see so many guys have their last match, and it's not really where they know it's their last match. Like I had a conversation with somebody a couple of years ago where like even a guy like Norman Smiley, like he's now with WWE and working at the Performance Center and helping pass that knowledge down to the next generation. But I bet when Norman had his last match, he didn't know it was going to be his last match. It was just his last match. And then he had this WWE opportunity and he went to it and that was it. Other guys we see, hey, we know it's going to be their last match, but they're not really allowed to pick the groceries, to use a Bill Parcells line. And Kurt Angle always comes to mind. Kurt Angle was out front saying he wanted to wrestle John Cena in his last match. Vince had other ideas. It wound up being Baron Corbin. I think you and I both think a lot of Baron, but that's not really what Kurt wanted. This is exactly what Sting wanted in right. Greensboro with you and Tony on the call, with Ric Flair in his corner against the Young Bucks, involving his sons, lots of stunts, lots of spectacles, a match that created a lot of memories and a lot of moments. I'm happy Sting got to pick his last match. I hope that becomes a new trend in wrestling.
I think anytime a top guy can book their own storyline, and not just any top guy, guys that are reasonable and rational and all that stuff, it's a good thing. The more you invest in your own creative, the better chances are it's going to be executed perfectly, passionately, thoroughly. So I was, I'm like you, Conrad. It's what Sting wanted, and we owed it to him to give him what he wanted, in this special night that will never be replicated. It's only going to happen one time. So you make it as good as you can. And, you know, I'm glad that I didn't know all the minute details of this, that match before it started. I didn't prejudge anything. It was what it was. And I just loved it. I love that sign back there. It's just still a little stinger. My daughter is 46. I think she's 46. She was born in 1981. But she sent me a text earlier in the day. She said, please still sting that I still love him. She's been a little stinger since she was a little bitty girl. And I remember her going to shows, but wearing the face paint and the whole nine yards. So, it was a special day for everybody. All of us had have our memories and we were able to share them in a large degree.
It was a special moment. We know that, once the pay-per-view went off the air, Sting got on the mic and had a few words and, thanked a lot of people. Tony Khan came out. He gave a shout out to Tony Schiavone, who came and did It's Sting one last time. I mean, this was a special moment. When it was all said and done, did you feel like, you know, we had done right by the Stinger? And did you see the press conference where, you know, it was sort of hinted at that maybe Tony wants Sting to stick around with the company in some capacity, but Sting felt like, you know, I don't really want to be an agent and I don't really want to be an on-screen manager. What'd you think of that? And do you think we'll see Sting again?
I think we'll see Sting again. I just don't know in what role, but it'll be a role that he's comfortable with and that he wants to do. And I think that's all that matters. Tony Khan's very accommodating in that regard. My own situation, notwithstanding, you know, he got me on the show. He got me in a place where I could do what I think I do best. That's call a wrestling match. And, that was good for me as an individual, as a performer. And I think Sting will be, when the right thing arises, we'll see him again, but I don't think we'll ever see him again as an active wrestler. I think that ship has sailed, and I think that's a good thing. A retirement should mean a retirement. And he's the old school soul that will, I think, speaking of Sting, that will want to see that through in that regard. You know, did great. Days come and gone. And it's all just remember it and enjoy it. And love it. Love him. You know, I don't know of any wrestler that I've been around. And, you know, I've been doing this 50 years, and I don't think I've ever met anybody that was as well loved, respected as Sting in our business, period. And that covers a lot of ground. So he's to be loved, respected. And I think his opinions will be honored. If he says he doesn't want to be a manager or whatever, and get that one more bump, that one more spot, I believe him. I believe that we've seen the last of that situation. And I think it's smart business, quite frankly. We've taken a lot of chances with him at his age and his experience level. And, so maybe it is time just to move on and just love the memories, love the legacy of this amazing human being.
Well, I for one am glad that we got to see Sting's last match and that he got a proper send off. You know, I was at Sting's last match in TNA, and believe it or not, it was right down the road here in Huntsville. And we saw his last match in WWE was that Seth Rollins match where he got hurt. And well, that was less than ideal. I'm really glad that Tony Khan was able to give Sting the last match that he deserved. And more importantly, that he wanted. I guess I wanted to ask you, then we'll do some questions. Did you expect Sting to win his last match? Because I know there's the old school mentality that says, oh, you always lose on your way out. But to me, if he lost his last match, man, I can't imagine the feeling in the building. Like, you want him to retire undefeated and win his last match. I can't imagine any other way.
To me, there was no other way. And I never even considered, maybe there's a time or two in the latter stages of the match that I thought, well, maybe they're going to, throw us a little curveball here and Sting's going to do the honors in his last match for all the right reasons. But I'm glad it didn't happen that way. It happened the way that I would have booked it if I were doing it, Sting's going to go over, and how he get there and how he goes over is still is debatable and so forth. To me, that was the only finish, and none other would even be considered by me, i.e. Sting doing the honors. Just didn't make any sense to me. So I'm glad that it ended as it did, with Sting getting his hand raised, he and Darby. They deserved that. And so did the Bucks. That's part of the, they completed their assignment.
Yes, sir.
They put those guys over, and so everybody should be proud of their efforts and proud of their work.
So listen, Jim, Sting's last match is in the rearview mirror. And what's next for AEW is that big St. Louis pay-per-view. Tickets go on sale this Friday at AEWTIX.com. It's coming to you April 21st in St. Louis. It's called Dynasty. It's a brand new pay-per-view, and it's just a few weeks after WrestleMania, but ahead of where we would normally be in Las Vegas for Double or Nothing. So I'm excited. AEW spinning up a new pay-per-view, Dynasty. What do you expect?
Let's see the lineup. I'm excited about it. It seems, pardon me. Sorry about that. It seems as if the AEW talents, perform best, on a big screen, big stage. Some of the best matches some of these kids have had have been on pay-per-view. They rise to the occasion. I expect nothing less at, Dynasty. St. Louis, great city. I've had some great times there. You know, I remember spending one night with Jack and Jerry Briscoe in my hotel room, enjoying some herb and a cold beer with my Oklahoma buddies. So I always have those St. Louis memories. Sam Muchnick built a franchise there that was unparalleled. Consider what Sam Muchnick built on a running one show a month. It's extraordinary. He kept his product fresh. He kept his matches fresh. He was smart about how he orchestrated the finishes. So St. Louis is a perfect scenario for a great wrestling show. So now it'll be up to the talents and how they're booked, how they perform. But I have the utmost confidence this is going to be another stellar pay-per-view in St. Louis. I'm hopeful that I get to work that show. At least that's my plan, my goal.
Well, we're pulling for you to be there. And before we get finished with our Sting conversation, I wanted to at least mention the next pay-per-view, which is Dynasty, April 21st in St. Louis. Tickets on sale this weekend, AEWTIX.com. Let's do a few here. Yambag Jones says, people are heavily debating whether Sting should have gone out on his back, as the old saying goes, or if there are situations where it really doesn't matter. In my opinion, the Bucks are well established, and given the fact this was Sting's last match regardless, it didn't really matter. What's wrong with going out like Babe Ruth? I kind of agree. I mean, people wanted to cheer for Sting in his last match. It didn't make any sense to do anything else to me.
No, me neither. I would not even, if I was in that role and had a pencil in my hand with a big old eraser, it would have been to symbolize that Sting is going to go over. Because I think that was the only finish that was applicable, the only thing to do.
We've all been watching and celebrating some of Sting's great moments. Ryan has a great question for you, though. Do you have an all-time favorite Sting match from WCW that you witnessed from commentary? So not the stuff that was, you know, before you or after you, but during your run with Sting, whether it was in the NWA or WCW or certainly AEW, is there one match that stands out above all the rest?
Sting has some great matches teaming with Rick Steiner back in the Mid-South days, working for the Cowboy. And some of those are, really, they would hold up today just as well as not. So some of those tag matches back in the Mid-South days, Cowboy saw something in Sting that he didn't see in Sting in the Ultimate Warrior. Ultimate Warrior got released, sent to Dallas to work for Von Erichs, and then he transferred on over to WWE in time. But some of those tag matches in the Mid-South, the Tulsa Convention Center, involving Sting and Rick Steiner were just terrific, absolutely terrific. So some of those stick in my mind because you had young guys that were athletic, hungry, talented and fresh. And wrestling fans love new and they love fresh. And Sting and Rick Steiner, among others, that era, Eddie Gilbert provided that. Eddie Gilbert did a great job of helping book that whole scenario and did a great job, as a matter of fact. So some of those matches they're obscure in the eyes of a lot of folks because those matches happened for a lot of our listeners and our viewers even were born. So go out of your way to check some of those out because they're really entertaining and exceptionally good pro wrestling matches.
You know, when you think about Sting's big matches, you were on the call for a lot of those. I didn't really even think about that until we read that question. But like, even when he won the world title for the first time from Ric Flair in 1990, you're on the call there in Baltimore. It's really crazy how far back his career goes and at a high level. I mean, he enjoyed so much success so early. And I loved his feud with Vader in WCW. I loved his feud with Cactus Jack in WCW. And then there's that whole era that you didn't participate in TNA. Man, what a career. Tyler Weeks says, over the course of his career, we saw Sting keep reinventing himself with different looks. How do you think he was able to maintain the same success? And which version of Sting was your favorite?
Well, we're just talking about attire and how he looked and how he changed his look, the paint, the different colors of paint, the different costume changes. But the bottom line is that once all that veneer was pulled aside, you still got the same guy doing much of the same thing, athletically speaking and so forth. So it all comes back to bell to bell. He only got better at bell to bell. He didn't keep adding things that didn't work. He added things that work well for him. And I just thought he was reinvention is important for talent. Talent's got to have courage to step away from their routines. And he was always courageous and willing to try different things, all coming back to the basics of having a solid connecting the dots pro wrestling match. That was always Sting's deal. He was always true to the fans in that respect. And that didn't stop. He was that way Sunday night. Saw things he did Sunday night that we'd seen him do before and to some degree or another, but he was just, he never deviated too far away from his core product, and that was wrestling.
Well, we always wanted to see you doing what you do best back behind the commentary desk. You and I have talked about it for months. We wanted you to be in Greensboro, seated next to Tony Schiavone, doing commentary on Sting's last match. We saw it happen. I have to admit, since it was a surprise and it was your return after a long absence, I kind of expected them to do an on-camera and make your return a bigger splash. But either way, you were there for the main event, and I know that was a goal. When you go back to the very first Greensboro show that we saw both you and Tony on, it was Clash of the Champions, the very first one from 1988. We've referenced that match so much in recent months, especially with Rick being back. It was nice to see you and Tony on the call again. Did you and Tony, or you and Rick, or you and Sting talk about that first Clash of the Champions over the weekend?
Not much. We acknowledged it, but we were just so glad to see each other and was excited about the night. And to me, that was all we needed. There were hugs all around and tears. I love those opportunities. I love the opportunity I had on Sunday. Appreciate, again, Tony Khan assigning me to the match. I appreciate the professionalism of Excalibur and Tony Schiavone immensely. Terrific. And Tony showing his personality. Everybody's got a blue suit. I got to buy me a blue suit, it looks like. Excalibur and Tony were great partners. I think we complimented each other well. Everybody's willing to share mic time and so forth. That's always important. So, we discussed it a little bit, but basically we just wanted to get the show started. That's the thing about in my situation. I just wanted to make sure I get my fat ass out there and didn't fall down someplace. So, Luckily that didn't happen.
Well, luckily you were back. We were so glad to see you back. And it was nice to see Ric Flair in there associated with Sting one last time.
Yeah.
We saw him get super kicked towards the end of the match. And I think he fell into the glass that Sting had just gone through. And when he came back on camera, it was Sting who brought him back. And he sort of said he would be with him till the end. But I think the details were released around the same time that he made his debut that Ric Flair was all elite and he was going to be sticking around. I think his contract runs past when Sting's last match was. So I know you're not booking, but what would you think the highest and best use of a Ric Flair would be for AEW with what's left on his contract, whatever that may be?
Sporadic. Don't overexpose Nate. There are certain things that he can still do very well, like talk, cut promos, that type thing. I think judicious use of the Nate is what I would shoot for, and not to overexpose him, shall we say. But he'll always have a place. God dang, he's Ric Flair. What we're talking about here? He's a Nate, and so you always got room for the Nate in some shape, form, or fashion, because even though he's 75. Just had that birthday last week. He'll always be Nature Boy Ric Flair until the good Lord says it's time for him not to be. And I hope certainly that that's not anytime soon.
We saw a lot of really cool tributes online over the weekend. Folks like New Japan and even the Great Muda and the Impact Wrestling. They were all celebrating Sting. We didn't see such an announcement from WWE, but in the middle of Monday Night Raw on commentary, Michael Cole said something along the lines of, "We want to congratulate another great champion, Sting, who just wrapped up his career last night and wrestled his last match," or whatever he said. And then Pat McAfee said, "Oh, an epic match last night." Then Michael Cole moved on, but it was really cool to see that they acknowledged Sting because
yeah, it was.
That shows a bit of a paradigm shift from the way things used to be, maybe.
Oh, absolutely. And it's classy. Any way you look at it, it's classy. And I really appreciated the hospitality and the professionalism that those guys in WWE showed our event on Sunday night. It meant a lot to me personally, just as an old school guy. But because WWE didn't have to do that. And I'm very happy that they did. Worked out really well. It felt good. It felt right. And again, Sting is so well loved. It was just so deserved. Quite honestly, it needed to be said. And Cole and Pat McAfee did a good job of singling that out.
Well, we want to talk a little bit about what's next for you too. You know, as we have talked about on the show for quite a while, your contract was coming due on Valentine's Day of this year, and you were not able to record, so we've missed a few weeks, but we saw you back in Greensboro. Did they just extend your current deal for the time you missed?
We wrote a new deal.
All right. I love to hear that.
We wrote a completely new deal, no extension, new contract. And it was part of the quickest, easiest negotiation that I've ever done in my career, 50 years. And that's all because of Tony Khan's commitment to me as a broadcaster. And he's always been a fan of my work, it really helps your cause when your boss is a fan of your work.
Yeah.
Never hurts anything. So, we got a new deal and, I'll be back, pardon me. I'll be back to do, more work. I'm assuming it's going to be centered around the pay-per-views that we're having. We're adding more pay-per-views. There's going to be more big events. I assume, as I said here, that those big events will be the pay-per-views, and I'll be involved some degree in those. So time will tell. We'll see. I'm here. I'm getting better, and that will work for me. If I'm working just the pay-per-views, then I'm very happy to do that. So just a matter of getting back in the game, Connie, and playing. Give me the playbook. Let's go play.
So listen, I'm glad you're back with AEW, on the new contract. I mean, is this, You don't have to share all the details, of course, but are you there another year, another 6 months, another 2 years? Can you share?
I think we're down for another year.
Okay.
That's plenty. I'm happy with it. The negotiations, as I said, were smooth and quick. Tony Khan stepped up, term wise, financial package wise, everything was to my liking. I was very blessed to be working with Tony on that deal. He wanted me signed. He got his man. And I got my company, so it all worked out real well. And I know that as time goes on, my contributions will still be felt, which is something I'm really looking forward to contributing to.
As you should. I am absolutely pumped to see exactly what happens in AEW. I'm going to be paying close attention to that April pay-per-view, and that May one's going to be here before you know it. And we've all got All In circled. It's going to be a fun year in AEW, but now we're going to talk about what else we've missed, because Lord have mercy, the wrestling industry has changed a little bit since you and I got together, Jim. The biggest story perhaps in professional wrestling is Vince McMahon gets sued. Brock Lesnar disappears. Johnny Ace turns on Vince. It feels like Vince is on the outside looking in. Since you and I have made plans to record this week, he sold over $400 million worth of stock this week. Goodness gracious. What do you make of all this Vince McMahon news across the aisle, so to speak?
Lots of change afloat. And personally, I'll be glad when that change is, the winds have swept that change on through. I'm tired of it. It's embarrassing in a lot of ways that it's happened this way. It's affected a lot of innocent people. That's my take on it. I might be wrong, but it's time to move on. It's time to move on and cause some rest and a peace for some people, but it's time to move on, in my opinion. And I just never believed that Vince would allow his company to get this out of control. and it has. And I feel badly about that, because I know how much the WWE meant to Vince. I'm sure it still does to some degree. So, anyway, it's time. Let's go. Let's move on. Let's rewind it and cast the hook in the water one more time and try to see if we can't catch something more positive.
How do you think this affects Vince McMahon's legacy in professional wrestling?
Well, it'll affect it to some degree, but not, it won't be, earth shattering. It won't be a big seismographic change, because he's still Vince McMahon, and he still built this amazing company that many of us in different forms of pro wrestling are still celebrating and still playing off of. I just think it's time for all of us to move on and find happier days and build from there. But you'll never be able to take away what Vince built and how he's helped a lot of people. I mean, a lot of guys that are making a living in pro wrestling right now can look at it any way they choose, but if they're being realistic, they look in the mirror and see Vince McMahon staring them right in the face, because he was the catalyst that created a lot of this change and the incomes going up and all those things. So, I just wish it was over. I just wish we had moved on and all these issues were settled and we had moved on to happier days, because I think that's what the business and the world needs, is happier days. And, still get that with the old WWE memories. At least I do. I'm very thankful I had a chance to work there. I'm even more thankful I have a chance to work for Tony Khan now in AEW. So it's all good, man. It's all good, Conrad. We have to build on the positives, and that's what I'm trying to do at my stage of life and my health situation. It's important for me to build on the positives, and that's what I'm trying to do.
It's really exciting to think about all that's happened just since you and I recorded, because I'm just realizing not only did the Vince stuff happen, but the whole Rock's return happened. I mean, Cody Rhodes won the Royal Rumble. It felt like we were going to get a rematch for him and Roman Reigns. The The Rock comes back. Maybe we're thinking he's going to hand that spot off. And now I guess The Rock has turned heel, and it's been a lot of twists and turns. I know we don't talk about what's going on Raw a bunch, but I know The Rock is somebody who you hold in high regard. You helped put the guy in the wrestling business, and now he's a member of the board for TKO and help probably land WWE this multi-billion dollar deal with Netflix. What do you think of The Rock throwing his hat back in the wrestling ring?
I'm proud of Dwayne. I really am. He's smart. He has a good sense of his surroundings. His influence is going to be held and heard forever. So I'm very happy that Dwayne's doing as well as he is. I'm not mad at him. He's trying to sell pay-per-views, folks. Simple as that. He's trying to create an interest so that you and I will be happy that we invested in this next pay-per-view event that he's promoting. So, and that's where I leave it. I'm always going to be a Dwayne Johnson fan. And that may not make some people happy, but you know, when you sign a guy and you recruit a guy and you're with him from day one, you have a different relationship than normal. So, I'm a Rock fan for life, and unabashedly so. And I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to sell. He's trying to monetize his presence on this next pay-per-view event that, WWE will be presenting. WrestleMania. And so, and look, as the high tides raise all ships, as they say. I believe that. I really believe that. The more successful WrestleMania is going to be, more residual effects positively, that AEW is going to be able to experience. High tides raise all ships. And that cliche is one that I truly believe in.
It's really going to be interesting to see what happens with Rock as being a member of the board, how often he'll be back on camera or at least in the ring. But what they've done so far this year has just been really remarkable. It looks like we might be getting Roman working both nights at WrestleMania, maybe the first night in tag match, the second night with Cody. We'll see how it unravels. But what's been interesting to see too is the way The Rock has come back and sort of charted his own course. I mean, he's on TV talking about meth and cocaine and doing 22-minute promos on social media where he's using the F-bomb. It feels like WWE's maybe getting a little edgier. And with the Netflix deal looming, you know, it feels like their future is secured. They don't have to worry about this thing or that thing. Could you see this being perhaps a return for, I'm not going to call it Attitude Era, but maybe a little less PG. Do you think that's the direction they'll head with Netflix, if you had to guess?
I think that fits Rock's personality best. A little less PG and a little bit more attitudinal. He's always had that edgy attitude since the days he played football at the U down in Miami, because that's what they were known for. They were known for attitude. And I think that's what fits Rock's persona best as a natural person. So, but you know, we just stay tuned and time will tell. It's like everything else. We talked earlier about what's going to happen to Darby Allin next. What's going to happen in the AEW world title situation. There's one way to find out. Stay tuned. Just simply stay tuned and let the story catch up with your imagination. And I think that's where we are right now for both big companies.
It's going to be a lot of fun seeing what happens. Before we get out of here, we need to at least mention that there's been some bad news that's come out. I want to run through a few names that we've lost in the wrestling space. We'll start with somebody you might not think of being part of the wrestling space, but he is one of your longtime, great, close personal friends. Mr. Toby Keith lost his battle with cancer. And I know you got to spend quite a bit of time with Toby Keith. I think some of our listeners probably know of Toby as being Jeff Jarrett's friend, but they may not get the JR association. How did you become friends with Toby, and what all did y'all have in common?
Oklahoma football.
There you go.
Yeah. Simple as that. We, stood together side by side many, many weekends to watch our Sooners play football. Notwithstanding the fact that Toby Toby's home and my home in Norman were 5-10 minutes apart. And I went to maybe one of his last games. And then I was also involved in a couple of, like I said, a couple of last games. And then there's a picture floating around. I'll try to get my hands on it, of sitting in a restaurant booth in Norman with Toby, Coach Barry Switzer, and myself. That might have been the last picture taken. And that's where I really realized how sick Toby was. Because when you got around him and you're talking with him, he didn't go into details about his cancer. He'd talk about it. He wouldn't avoid it. He wasn't running from it. But it was a very, you know, sensitive subject, as you could imagine. So, but he took it like a man. And how his, that last I saw a recording he made from like hospice care or something. Something I don't know that I had the courage to do, to be honest with you. So I'm going to miss the big son of a bitch. He's a nice guy. He is a big wrestling fan. You know, I saw him on several Saturdays a year, not just a one-off in a TNA studio. So I had a great relationship with Toby, and he's missed. I think about him every day. He's just, his music is everywhere. And it's very heartwarming to see how much the fans have responded to his absence through Toby's music, which is extraordinary. There it is. There you go, Bull. That's those red solo cups, bro.
Oh, yeah. Y'all filled them up.
Yeah, and emptied them. Toby having fun, and Coach Switzer. You know, we all love Coach Switzer. He's like a deity there at Oklahoma. And then there's good old JR hanging out with his boys, having a Moscow Mule and a Ridge Solo Cup. Can't hardly beat that. So but when you see pictures like that, you realize just how sick the dude was. He lost so much weight. He was a big strapping Sean Wayne size guy, 6'3", 6'4". And then there you see him withering away to not nearly as bulky or as thick as he was. But very beloved. Oklahoma lost a great talent, great Oklahoman, and the country music world lost a tremendous singer, entertainer, and ambassador. So I miss Toby a lot, and I'm just glad I got to know him. I'm glad that we were friends. You know, I've gotten phone calls from him and said, "What are you doing?" And I'm hanging out at the house here in Norman. "Meet me at Charleston's. Let's have something to eat." But 10 minutes away from me. So I'd go to Charleston's, one of my favorite restaurants in Norman. And, Toby and I would eat there and sit at the bar and have a little bowl of soup or whatever. But, we were great friends. It was legit. It wasn't a special occasion friend. It was my friend all the time. And he's going to be missed immensely. He already is.
Well said. Toby Keith, man, gone way too soon. And I want to talk about a few other names. Paul Vachon, we lost him. The Butcher Vachon is going to become the adoptive father of Luna Vachon. And what a weird sentence this is. Gangrel's father-in-law. And of course, from a famous wrestling family with Mad Dog Vachon and Luna Vachon, Paul Vachon lived a full life. But he is no longer with us. Did you spend any time at all with Paul?
Not much. He was a great heel, though. I know he's a great heel because he believed he was the heel. He believed he was the tough guy, and he was. So, but the Vachons were a great tag team. They were, you couldn't intimidate them. The hotter the crowd, the better they liked it. So, I when I saw the Vachons, it was just always a show of respect. Because they deserve that. And they're badasses and reliable. They hung around for a long time. You know, Paul was 80 something years old when he passed away.
Right.
So, but he's a classic. And so, of course, we got to know his brother, Mad Dog. And they were both Pat Patterson guys. They were, you know, Italian. They were French, right? Are they French? Aviva Sean be a French name. Anyway, in any event, Conrad, whoever the hell I'm trying to say, and I'm fading here on this recording, to be honest with you.
I mean, they're Montreal, so yeah, I assume.
French-Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah, and good guys. Good, tough guys. Kind of heels you want that aren't afraid to go through a rabid crowd. They were that way. So a lot of respect for the Sean's.
We also lost Mike Jones, who I grew up knowing as Virgil.
Yeah.
Of course, once upon a time, I guess Soul Train Jones, and I know over in WCW, they called him Vincent and Curly Bill and Shane. And listen, they were always funny and fun characters on the WCW side of things, but perhaps no more role more iconic than Virgil, the quote unquote manservant of the $1 Million Man in the '80s. It was an over the top character and presentation. And he was one of those supporting castmates and gone way too soon. Ever the worker, Mike Jones didn't want people to know how old he was, so he had the world convinced he was 61. I saw a lot of mainstream media even running with that. I think he's actually 72. He just shaved 11 years off of his age and got away with it for a long time.
I can see that happening to him. He was a character, man. He was a character, and he protected his gimmick, as they say. And he hung around and very loosely structured roles a lot longer than the average bear, quite frankly. So he'll be missed. He was always an entertaining character. You know, I don't make a lot of appearances anymore at these card shows and things. I wish I were. I like doing them. But he was a fixture at a lot of those. And sometimes he just invited himself and he'd show up. But he was a hustler. Entrepreneur, in other words. So I don't know if he could even spell entrepreneur. I don't think I can, but he was a successful hustler and made a living, kept his name out there all these years. So it's pretty cool. He's another cat that'll be missed.
We should mention one last name, the late, great Ole Anderson. They often say that deaths come in threes, and boy, last week we got all three: Paul Vachon, Ole Anderson, and Mike Jones. Ole, of course, was a real pioneer in wrestling, one of the founding members of the Four Horsemen, but maybe before that is when he did some of his best work as a top drawing card all over the territories. But really behind the scenes as a booker, that's where he flourished and became a power broker, booking not one, but two territories at the same doggone time, including Georgia, which had national TV before anybody had national TV on TBS. But he wasn't always the most open-minded guy, perhaps. What was your experience like with Ole Anderson, and what do you think his legacy will be?
Hey, never a dull moment with Ole. You never had to worry about where you stood with him. He just was one of a kind. Sincerely one of a kind. And he didn't worry about your feelings and delivering a message. Now, I remember he sitting Tony Schiavone and I down a time or two and reading us the riot act on how he presented somebody. Then we would state our case and he would understand our case. So, yep, you're right. Screwed that up, but he didn't dwell on it. It wasn't something was going to build a house on. So that lot was going to stay vacant, so to speak. But he was just a unique guy, man. He was hard-headed, stubborn, creative, and he believed in what he was standing for. So Ole will be missed. He was a big time player, and like you said, he booked two of the most powerful territories simultaneously in the history of the wrestling business. And I don't know how he even did that. Quite frankly, he had a great handle on his business, and always have great respect for Ole. Did I like him? Not really. But then sometimes he'd say something or do something that was absolutely divine, and you get over being angry. But he liked the edge. He liked the not Adam Copeland. He liked him too. I don't know. But he liked being on the edge, and some of those were some of his best moments because he was entertaining as hell.
Ole Anderson, man, what a full life he lived. What an innovator, so far ahead of his time. And believe it or not, once upon a time, he wrote a book. I would recommend you go check it out. He had his feelings and he was pretty clear about those. Speaking of books, Jim, your book is getting closer and closer to its release date. I know Dave Silva and I have had preview copies. We absolutely love it. We think this is going to be the wrestling book of the year. So if you're going to read one wrestling book this year, here's a spoiler. You won't find any better than JR's new book. Business is about to pick up. You can pre-order it right now at jrbook50.com. That's jrbook50.com. And of course, we're saying that because this is the 50th anniversary of Jim in the wrestling business. Mick Foley had a chance to take a look, and he had this to say. Jim Ross has the ability to turn a good match into a great match and a great match into the stuff of legend. For an entire generation of wrestling fans, Jim's immortal calls were part of the soundtrack of their lives, eclipsing wrestling itself to become an incredible part of popular culture. Man, high praise from Mick Foley, the book of the year. So says Dave Silva and I. Get your pre-order in right now, jrbook50.com. Jim, what should folks expect from your brand new book?
It's a quick read. It's easy to read. Chapters, pardon me. You can tell my throat is still recovering Sunday night. Sorry about that, folks. But it's a short, it's an easy read. The chapters are many and short. So it's I tease this great for bathroom reading, because you can read a chapter or two and then take care of your business and move on about your business. So it's unique. It's a unique book. The most unique book that I've ever written. Paul O'Brien and I collaborated as usual. He's a brilliant, much smarter than I. And he always does a phenomenal job. I'm lucky that he's on our team. Sweet. So, but it's a departure from what you normally get in an autobiography. It's a series of short stories, and on topics that most people are going to be familiar with, just new information. So new information, shorter chapters. And I think people are going to enjoy it. Frankly, I hope they do. That's our goal. I sincerely hope that you do. And the only way you're going to know that is to get it, order it. JRbook50.com, pre-order it. I don't know how many signings we're going to do. We haven't got that far yet. I've got to get a little bit healthier. It's just more travel. So, signings are something I'd love to do, but I got to get healthy enough to do them. You know, it sounds funny, you know, sitting in a chair, Connie, or this many hours is hard on an old timer, bad hip. So once the hip is healed, I'm going to be right back out there. Just don't know exactly the date. Stay tuned.
We're excited for you to get right back out there. And we're also excited to be mentioning your barbecue. But before we talk about that, because I know I'm going to be doing that as I'm enjoying night one of WrestleMania, I'm going to be grilling it up. I wanted to ask you about international markets briefly, because we know that AEW has gone to Canada, and we know that AEW had tremendous success at Wembley. It feels like international is a battleground now for WWE too. They did the show in Puerto Rico last year. The people went bananas. They did a pay-per-view in London and folks lost their mind. We just saw them down in Australia. It won't be too terribly long, and we'll see them in Germany and in France. And international growth for wrestling, do you expect to see more of that from AEW as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. AEW is just teeing up the ball, ready to kick it off.
Right.
In that respect, I think without a doubt, fans are everywhere, and wrestling fans like new. I've said that many times, and these new markets will provide them that. It'll be a first time that a lot of people will have ever seen AEW in person, and it is a show to behold, no doubt about it. As I said earlier, these young talents love to hunt. They love to excel, and that's what you're going to expect to see from AEW as time goes on. Is these young talents on the hunt and performing at a high, high level.
I know one of the things that you and I have really enjoyed is the Hall of Fame every year for WWE. And it felt like they got a later start than normal. We know the Hall of Fame is going to be where WrestleMania is. Philadelphia, here we come. And when you think of Philadelphia, you got to think about who's probably the headliner this year. The one and only Paul Heyman being announced as taking his rightful place in the WWE Hall of Fame. I, for one, thought Paul would try to stiff arm this until he was finished with the business, but he's going to be center stage in Philadelphia. Long overdue, well deserved. What say you?
Oh, yeah. There's nobody going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, past or present, that's more deserving than Paul Heyman. You know, I saw this brash young manager that the booking committee did not want to work with on a regular basis because he was very smart, smarter than most of them, and very demanding. And so my idea was, well, if you guys aren't going to use this kid, I'll use him on the broadcast. So it's my idea to make him a broadcaster to start with. And he's never let me down or anybody else down that he's worked for in that regard. So he brought the best out of me without question. He brought the best out of me. He knew how to piss me off. He knew how to manage it. He was, there's a good example. His feet are all propped up, wearing his cowboy boots and his suit, and me trying to make a point that, you know, are you that hard headed? Are you that stupid? No, he was great. He was great. People really legitimately believe, Connie, that Heyman and I hated each other.
Yes.
They legitimately believe that we hated each other, and nothing could be farther from the truth. I'm happy to say. So I'm very happy for Paul. I'm proud of him. Although I won't be able to be involved in his Hall of Fame day, I will certainly be watching in earnest, and I'm just proud for him. There's nobody quite like him, ever, now or then or forever. So good for Paul. Good dude, talented as hell. And has been talented through multiple generations and multiple incarnations. So I'm happy for him, to say the very least. He's very well deserving. And I don't know who else is going in the Hall of Fame this year, but nobody's going to go in that's more deserving. Paul Heyman.
I got a wish list I want to run past you. I think this would be a nice year for Bray Wyatt to go in. Where do you land on that one?
No problem. I think it's not a bad idea.
What about the total package, Lex Luger? I could see it. What say you?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know why that wouldn't be a viable, logical option. No, Lex certainly work is deserving of it. His tenure, sacrifice, and all those things. So, that'd be a nice addition. Lex is very very much deserving.
You want to get people talking? Can you imagine if we had a Hall of Fame where we heard from both Paul Heyman and Jim Cornette if the Midnight Express went in this year?
That'd be something else, I can tell you. That would be something else, I can tell you that. Well, hey, you never know, though. You never know how it's going to work out. You know, Cornette could pop up about anywhere, and wherever he pops up, he's going to be entertaining and thought-provoking. So all good, man. I'm happy for all those guys. Hall of Fame's a cool thing. I went in with Lawler in 2007, and it was a happy day to get that phone call. I mean, I know exactly where I was. I know exactly what I was walking to a little bar. Phone rang. Kevin Dunn, got some good news for you. You and Lawler are going to go into the Hall of Fame this year. This is a few weeks before the announcement was made, but it was very humbling, to say the least. And something I never thought really that was going to come my way, but it did. And I'm very grateful that it did.
Well, we're grateful that we got to catch up with you, Jim. I want to ask you one more thing before we talk about barbecue and wrap up. The other big news that we missed while we were out, Scott D'Amore has been the head of TNA for as long as I can remember. And that is no more. Francis Reyes says, what'd you think, Jim, about the rebranding of TNA? Of course, they went from Impact to TNA. And what happens with Scott D'Amore? Where do you think he'll end up next? Hope you're doing okay as well.
Well, Scott's a hustler. He's an entrepreneur spirit, to say the least. I want to think and I hope that he's going to be fine. I'm sure he's got some kind of plan B game plan, and he's done a good job. He's made a nice name for himself. So hopefully he'll be just fine, and we can watch his rebirth, shall we say. Smart guy, hustler. So and he deserves a good hand. He's worked hard, and he's been invaluable in a lot of ways. So I'm a Scott D'Amore fan in that respect, and only can hope that he lands on his feet and continues to do well.
Well, we know something that's doing well, and that's JRsBBQ.com. We've been talking about it since day one here on the show. They've got something for everybody. We got action figures. We got trading cards. We got two types of sauce. I like the not the hot sauce, but the regular barbecue sauce. It's my go-to. But everybody I talk to has something else they like, whether it's jerky or maybe they like the Chipotle ketchup or the Main Event mustard. And they've even got hot sauce now, JR's red ass hot sauce. But my favorite is the all purpose seasoning. I've even talked about putting it on eggs. I've heard of people putting it on popcorn. What's going on at JRsBBQ.com these days, Jim?
Just doing a little bit of grilling on a low key basis, and enjoying that component of the way I cook. And, it's my go-to seasoning. If I'm having a steak and eggs, you can bet your ass that, JR's red ass hot sauce the all purpose seasoning is included in that. So, I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled to my own devices, and I hope that people give it a try. It's idiot proof, quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen. Just sprinkle it on like you would a rub or a barbecue rub or something. And that's all you got to do. You got to measure anything. It's just season to taste. And that's what I recommend, and hope you'll give it a shot. Again, it costs nothing to look. We're open 24 hours a day, and there you see a wide variety of things. And we'll sooner than later be adding our newest book to that allotment, and look forward to that sooner than later, much sooner than later.
Well, if you haven't already, join us over on Patreon. We greatly appreciate everybody being a part of our live studio audience. Want to give a shout out to Coach Keith and Coach Rosie and Leon Herring and Bobby and Denovia Smack. There's so many people who showed up early and were so supportive. Like Coach Keith, he says, "Welcome back, JR. You were truly missed." Bobby is chiming in as well. He says, "I put JR's all-purpose seasoning on some chicken last night and had it with some rice. It was amazing."
Cool.
Coach Rosie really enjoyed your performance at the pay-per-view. He says, "JR, you didn't skip a beat. It sounded like it was back in the 80s and 90s on Sunday night." And Leon Herring says, "Good morning, family. Welcome back, JR. Hearing that call on Sunday took this 46-year-old man back to being a kid watching the Clash. It moved me to tears. I love you, awesome. JR, and thank you, ad-free shows, for this." High praise, man.
That's great, Leon. Leon, thank you. You're making me tear up. Yeah, it is high praise. You fall in love. Wrestling fans fall in love with the strangest things, and many of them have fallen in love with me, which I deeply appreciate. So it's part of the journey, Connie, part of the journey that we're on together, and let's just continue to take it one step at a time and get better every day in the healing process.
Well, that's what we're trying to do, is get better every day. And we would love to get to work for you. If you're looking to advertise to men to 25 to 54 years old, we got them right here. Find out how easy and affordable it can be at advertisewithjr.com. We're also going to be throwing you guys the keys to the show next week. It's Ask Jim Anything, and it's easy to get in on the conversation. We're actually encouraging you to leave us a question over on our YouTube. That's Grilling JR on YouTube.com. JR and I are going to be going live in the new year. It's a new priority for us. So if you haven't already, be sure to hit the subscribe button, turn on the notifications bell at Grilling JR on YouTube.com. That's where we'll be looking for your questions. So just drop your questions in response to this video, and it'll be headed our way. That's Ask JR Anything, coming up next week here on the show. The only place to ask your questions is our YouTube, Grilling JR on YouTube.com. Jim, it was so good to just catch up with you, talk about old school wrestling, figure out what's next for Sting, Ric Flair, and more importantly, yourself. And I'm so happy that you've got a new contract and you're with AEW for a whole nother year, man. I'm thrilled you're still there.
I'm very blessed. Very blessed. My thanks to Tony Khan and the AEW team. Great things are still to come. No doubt. I'm optimistic, positive, and I'm going to stay that way. So appreciate all you guys. All your well wishes have been heard, and I'm very, very grateful, to be honest with you.
And we're grateful that you guys chose to hang out with us. We'll be back next week answering all of your questions. Get those questions in now at GrillingJR on YouTube.com, and we'll see you next Thursday right here on Grilling JR with the voice of professional wrestling, Mr. Jim Ross.
Thanks, everybody. We love you. We appreciate you very much. Appreciate you tuning in, and join us again here next week. Tell a friend about our show.